teaching kids to paint, and a bizarre kitchen sink incident. Up next on the Handy Guys Podcast.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, a podcast for handy guys from handy guys. Here are the handy guys themselves, Brian and Paul.
So, Brian, I hear you had an interesting evening last night teaching your daughter and friends.
My daughter and her friends.
How to participate in a handy guy project.
Right. My daughter wanted to paint the room, and she wanted to have her friends help. And so they had a painting party, you know, and a cake and ice cream party and burgers and grilling out and sleepover and movies and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, and painting was part of this birthday party.
So we want to talk about how you get your kids involved in handy guy projects. We're going to mention the specific one, the painting project, but also encourage our listeners, if you have ideas on how to get kids involved in projects around the home, please let us know. And in addition to that, we also need to talk about this bizarre problem I've been having with my kitchen sink. I think I have, well, I don't know if it's a solution. I'm going to try it. But it's been going around the internet a little bit. I see some discussion of this problem with their kitchen sink. And if you have a...
It's the faucet, foamy water problem.
Yeah, the foamy, smelly water from a Moen faucet. It may happen with other brands as well, but I know it's happening with mine. So check it out. We'll be talking about that in the second part of this podcast. But let's give out our contact information. You can always email us at...
us@handyguyspodcast.com.
And let me see, Brian, if I can remember. You can find our Facebook page at facebook.com/thehandyguys.
The Handy Guys.
Yeah. And you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/handyguys.
Correct.
Wow. Got it right. And so if you dig us, find us on one of those two sites or just email us or use our contact
info. Don't say dig us, because you can at the bottom of every one of our posts, you can click dig.
Yeah, I know that was supposed to be a little double entendre. Give that idea in their mind, they could dig our posts.
Dig our posts. We haven't had anyone dig us in a couple of weeks, I think. So digging is cool.
And also our contact form, of course. And if you want to sign up for our informational once-a-month email that has our shows summarized or special offers.
Right. We're going to do a giveaway once we get around to figuring out how we're going to do the giveaway.
You need to be on our email list, because that's what we're going to do it with. You just sign up right on our main page. You'll see it on the top right. Don't forget to check out our videos. We have,
subscribe
10 of them up
there. RSS and all that good stuff.
And
iTunes.
You can watch us on Roku now.
We didn't talk about that.
No,
did we
didn't talk about that. How could we? We're just starting the show. We haven't talked about it in previous shows or any other shows for that matter.
What's a Roku?
Roku is just...
Let's do a whole show all these home media devices.
That's
stuff
a good idea.
Like
there's so many of them, though. It's hard to cover.
Right. So Roku. Okay. We're on Roku in high definition in your living room.
Right. Or you can just watch us on YouTube.
Right.
All right. Well, let's get on with our show right after this.
Got a project on your honey-do list? Let the Handy Guys know about it, and they may talk about it on their next podcast.
Yeah.
So you had an interesting evening here. We're talking about paint, and you got paint at your local True Value.
That's right. I got a gallon of the Easy Care, and I thought... You know, it'll be an interesting experiment. My daughter just turned 12, and she wanted to paint her room. So I was asking myself, how much freedom do I give her in choosing her color? She wanted to do it herself, have a couple of her friends help.
So you had a great, you know, here's an opportunity for the handy guy to teach.
Right, teaching moments, right? So am I crazy or enlightened?
So
I don't know.
What were you painting, the living room?
No, we were painting her bedroom.
Oh, okay.
So this turned into a painting party. I don't know, five preteen girls or tween girls or whatever you call them. And, you know, armed with rollers and paintbrushes and, you know, attempting to give some instruction.
Okay.
And so let them loose.
Let's start out. You want to teach someone to paint. And in this case, it's kids.
Right. 12-year-olds.
How much did you expect from them as far as in the whole production of things? Did they have to move the furniture? Did they have to cover the floors? Were they responsible for taping?
Yeah, that's a good question. My wife and my daughter moved the furniture.
Okay. So they did it before her friends came?
Before her friends came.
But your daughter was involved in that?
My daughter was involved in that, and that went okay. I was involved with my daughter in putting down the tarps.
Uh-huh.
I got some new tarps. They're the canvas type. We've talked about those before.
Absolutely. If you're going to be doing painting, just get canvas. If it's more than one room, they're expensive. But the reason, why are they so good, Brian?
Well, they're absorbent. So one of the problems with a plastic tarp is you get a drip of paint on there, and then you step on it, and you're tracking it everywhere.
Exactly.
And they rip easily. And
it's the same reason why I paint in socks. So if I step in wet paint,
I've heard that before. I've never done that.
It absorbs it better than, say, a rubber shoe where it just stays wet on the bottom and you end up tracking it everywhere.
Well, I don't want to get paint on my socks. So, and I've got some old cruddy sneakers that I use.
All right.
But yeah, so anyway, I got some of those canvas tarps.
The other nice thing about the canvas is it's heavier, so it stays in place.
It does.
You can't just kick it at. You know, that real lightweight disposable crap, you like stumble a little bit or kick it, it just like moves pulls it across the whole room.
Right. Or if you've got a stepladder involved, it's tearing through it.
It just goes right through it. Yeah, I can't. Once you go to canvas, you'll never go back to the disposable stuff.
Right.
And you'll take care of it. You'll just keep using it.
Right. Okay. So then, I gave her complete freedom on picking the color out.
All right.
It ended up, and there's going to be some pictures up.
Neon green or something like that?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. it's very bright, kind of a lime green, yellow green. I don't know.
Okay.
It's a really bright color. But I figured,
she was allowed. You didn't have any, you weren't allowed to adjust her selection?
I did not adjust.
Or veto it? Or
I was allowed to veto it, and I was allowed to adjust the selection.
In your agreement.
I chose not to.
Okay.
Right.
So she's got to live with this color
the rest
of her life.
Well, I figured, you know what? It's a 12 by 12 bedroom. You know, we can paint it again down the road.
So you got color. Are there any other items that you needed to get for this paint project at your True Value store to make it a successful paint adventure?
Yeah. I figured, you know, when I cut in, I use a brush. I got a pretty steady hand and I cut in without tape. But I thought, okay, there's going to be five tweeners that are going to be painting. Let me mask off everything.
Masking tape?
So I got some of that frog tape.
Oh, the frog tape.
Yeah. Okay. And we talked about that last year. That stuff leaves a really nice straight edge and perfect for cutting in. So I had a couple of the kids before everybody arrived for the painting party, birthday party thing. A couple of the kids, I showed them how to mask everything off. So we went around the doors, around the windows, around the ceiling, everywhere, got frog tape.
Cool.
I thought I'm protecting, you know,
right,
from the potential mishap. So I'm doing everything possible for to have a successful outcome.
Cool. So the preparation was important. You covered everything, got furniture.
My daughter actually washed the woodwork with, you know, spick and span and, you know, warm water.
Now, did you have them paint trim as well, or was it just the walls?
Well, this was going to be like a slumber party sleepover thing. So, you know, we're just going to do the walls.
Okay.
So I haven't finished. I'm going to finish the project over the weekend and do the trim and things like that. And do the ceiling, which I was not planning on doing.
Okay, so what else in preparation? What about like hardware outlets, things like that?
Yeah, I took all the outlet covers off.
So you
and
did
we,
that?
Yeah, I did that, and I masked off the outlets and switches.
Okay.
So again, with the frog tape, so that you know, that would all be protected.
All right. So there we have preparation. So now you're dealing with these young girls, and you're teaching them how to paint. Did you actually just say go to it, or did you give them some instruction?
I tried to give some instruction. You know, the typical instruction, you want to cut in first, keep a wet edge, roll up to the edge. You know, kind of some people say do a W pattern or an M pattern and then come back over it. You know, how much paint to put on the wall.
What pattern do you do when you paint there, Brian? I you know, I've heard the W. I've heard a painter tell me that. And then I heard someone I was painting with once was like, no. You just need to paint in vertical columns right next to each other. Very neat.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, you do both, actually. Because you want to get the paint on the wall, and you're going to use, you know, that you know, W or N sort of a pattern, and then you're going to come back over it with a long, even stroke top to bottom.
Okay.
That's what I do.
It also, I think, depends a bit on the quality of paint. If it's a better paint will handle almost any pattern, some don't. You know, it just depends on the paint as well.
Right. So you got to watch what you're doing. And I tried to demonstrate this to the girls.
Okay. Ah!
I tried to.
All right.
So,
so almost.
But also,
anyone,
they're shorter,
right?
Too, so they can't reach
sure.
the ceiling.
You know, Brian, almost anyone can roll paint. Doesn't mean that they're all going to do it well, but just about anyone can do it. It's a great project to start with kids. I've had my daughter paint this room that we are in, the walls.
Wow!
Believe it or not, and they love it. But the rolling is a great way to get kids started.
Yep.
As far as painting goes. Now, you may not want them cutting in, but...
Right. So, it went okay. We, you know...
So, how did you handle the shortness of the...
Well, the shortness, I figured I'll get in there and do the areas they can't reach, even though we did have a stool and a stepladder and things like
okay.
that and extension poles. And, you know, it was getting tight because the bed was still in the room and some of the furniture and things were put on top of the bed. So, we were kind of working around... the furniture.
Did any of the girls use the extension poles?
No, because they were knocking into stuff.
Right? I was going to just say, that is the problem with the extensions. For some reason, you must lose control, a little bit of control, because it seems like you're just asking for paint on the ceiling.
And they were knocking into the ceiling. I don't know. You know, I probably got a quart of paint on that white ceiling.
Oh, well.
So that's going to need to get redone.
Yep.
So, yeah. So, the hardest part for the kids was... putting the paint on evenly, you know, letting the paint run out of the roller, essentially,
sure.
you know, and they've essentially got a dry roller. So going back to the tray more frequently is something they didn't grasp and kind of doing it evenly. So, I was going back over behind them and, trying to keep up with drips and, you know, splatters and things like that.
So you didn't, you know, you didn't allow your daughter to take over this project completely. You were still involved.
I was involved.
You
I
let
was
her pick the color, but you couldn't keep your mitts off of this.
You know, it. We ran out of paint, fortunately. Why do I say fortunately? Because, quite frankly, the neatness factor of the rolling was not quite up to Handy Guy's standards. So we ran out of paint, and it was fine, and they had cake and ice cream and watched a movie and all of that.
So it's helpful if you're teaching kids to paint to work with them and have them roll, but you're still probably going to want to roll over and fix some of the runs and the
Right. So, you know. Come in behind him. I think if it was just my daughter and I was teaching her to paint her room, that would have been one thing. But, you know, they were also interested in putting, you know, paint on each other,
right.
You know, and stuff like that.
Sure.
So, you know, having fun. So, but it was a good time had by all, as they say.
And, all right.
And we got some paint on the walls.
So there you go. The Handy Guys and Kids in Paint. If you have any... advice for the Handy Guys and how we can teach kids to do different Handy Guy jobs, or if you have various projects for your kids of different ages, let us know and we incorporate them into our shows. But here's paint. I've done it with my daughter, and she was only in first grade at the time. But like I said, I was just by her. She was by herself. That makes a difference. And now you've done it with, what do they call them, tweenagers or something?
Yeah, something like that, right. Tweeners.
All right. All right. Well, up next, we're going to talk about my kitchen sink and the potential solution.
Don't know where to get reliable answers for your do-it-yourself projects? Why not search the Handy Guys Archive at handyguyspodcast.com.
So, Brian, I've had a very interesting issue over this past year, or almost a year. It's been about 9, maybe 11 months. I mentioned it briefly in one of our previous episodes a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it is odd. I bought a kitchen sink faucet, and we actually put in granite countertops.
Right, we talked about that, and we talked about the tile.
The
backsplash. We got pictures of it
exactly.
on the website and all of that.
So we put that in last September, and as part of that project, we purchased a very nice Moen faucet. And it's one of those that has the single faucet, but it has the pull down. You can the sprayer is part of the faucet, and it has a hose that extends from it.
So the whole faucet essentially pulls out instead of having a separate spray on.
Exactly, and I love it. It's great because for one thing, you don't need when you have the separate spray arm on a kitchen sink, you need another hole for one thing. If you're putting in granite, that's not a big deal, except you got to clean around it and maintain that.
But, sure.
But the thing I like about this is it's just so convenient. It's right there over the sink. It's just very handy. It's really worked well, and I love it. But there's been this a little bit of a weird problem, Brian. And
How?
Well, when we first started using it, you would turn it on, and you would get kind of a foamy water that came out. It would hit the bottom of the sink, and it was very foamy. It wasn't your just typical aerated water. It was more like, soapy water or maybe beer suds.
That's very weird. And I remember, within a couple of days of installing that faucet, you mentioning that problem.
And I figured that it had something to do with one of the fittings underneath the kitchen sink, one of the compression fittings where perhaps I used some joint compound or pipe dope. Yeah, I had to use a little bit of pipe dope, just a little bit to lubricate the joint to make it a little easier to get it on tight.
A little bit on the threads.
Yeah, so on the threads.
Tighten it up.
I thought maybe some of that got in somehow, and I don't know how it would be possible with a compression fitting, but nevertheless, I thought maybe some of that got into the water stream, and I told my wife, when she saw this bubbly water, which, by the way, wasn't just bubbly and foamy. It actually smelled.
Smelled like, what did it smell like?
I don't know. I had you smell some of it. I thought it smelled kind of oily, but
almost like a petroleum kind of.
You know what
product.
It smelled like to me? It was like valve oil. I played trumpet. We used to use what's called valve oil to lubricate the valves. It smelled a little bit like that, but it was different from the pipe dope. Because I then smelled that, and it was definitely a different smell.
Right.
So as time went on, I said it can't be the pipe dope.
Something
first of all,
maybe
that was
just manufacturing residue.
Yeah, I thought that too. That was the other thing. Right. Just you get something new, it has a smell. Either way, I told my wife it'll go away in a couple weeks, or maybe not even that, in a few days. And so I thought it was the manufacturing or the pipe dope, one or the other. Either way, it's not going to last long, right?
Right.
Well, it took like a month to go away, at least. Maybe 2 months, looking back on it, but it did go away eventually.
Okay. And well, that's good then.
For the most part, although I still think it would foam just a little bit, and I tried to ignore it and pretend it was I was just seeing things. Well, then, about 2 months ago, so now we're talking about maybe, say, 7 months after the original install.
Yeah.
It came back with a vengeance.
Very, very weird.
Now, originally, it would only do it in the morning. And it might come back if you didn't run the sink at all for several hours. It would come back maybe if you ran the sink and you'd see it. Then as the problem went away, it just wouldn't come back at all. Or maybe if you didn't run the sink for a day, it would come back a little. Now, we're talking you stop not use the sink for 5 minutes and you turn it on again, you get the foam and the smell.
Very, very well.
I can do it.
And it
on
doesn't
command.
Happen in any other faucets. You don't get foamy smell in your toilets or
it's definitely,
no other sinks.
It's only this fixture. I even took it all apart, make sure there was nothing in there. It was obvious there isn't. So then my thought was there's something going on in the hose that feeds this faucet because it's basically a faucet on the end of a hose and that's what you retract.
Right. But when you turn off the water, there's no water left in that hose, is there?
Yeah, well, the valve is right at the base of the fixture. I'm trying to think to answer your question.
So you've got like a single lever on the top of
the sink.
Because
your hoses feed the lever, and then
the lever puts the water into the hose that discharges out the faucet.
But when it turns,
so there's some water left, almost like a trap.
Exactly.
Right down under the sink in that hose.
It goes underneath and back up. Because there's that extra hose underneath.
So you can pull it out.
And also, I'm sure there's water, because when you turn off the valve, that water, even up to the end of the hose, there's water in there.
Okay, there's water in the spout and in the hose that's under the sink.
Just sitting there.
Just sitting there.
So I thought maybe there's something going on there. I emailed the company that makes it, and I'm not blaming the company because I don't know if it's just this one company or if other manufacturers are having similar problems with their vendors and the hoses they use, because I've heard that you know, at least someone reported this on one of the websites I found with Delta, but mine happens to be a Moen,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to send me a new hose.
Great. I've heard great things about Moen as far as their customer service goes.
I didn't have parts for older faucets,
all of that kind of stuff.
Well, they said, yeah, we hope this will fix your problem. They clearly know about it. And I emailed them the way I said, I've heard, you know, that you guys will send out a new hose. And they are. They did say to make sure you keep your receipts when you purchase these things. And I'm thinking, well, you know, make sure you don't give us hoses that give us smelly water, you know.
It'll be really interesting to see if that solves the problem.
Yeah. So if you find this a podcast and you're having this problem, I'm going to post a quick video when I get the hose of the install of it. I assume it's simple, but I'll show the video anyway and also show what's going on with the foamy water so you can see it for yourself.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. And the other thing we're going to do with this is when we were at True Value kind of deciding on some projects to do with the blog squad and all of that, we came across a whole variety of test kits, mold test kit, lead test kit, water quality test kit. What were the other test kits? Did I leave any out? Radon.
We're going to do all of them. We're going to do radon, water, and mold. And I guess that's about it. Those are the big three.
And the lead paint.
Oh, yeah, lead paint, right. Yep.
So we're going to run all those tests and see how easy they are to do and what you got to do to get the results and all of that. So that'll be a future show.
I don't think it's going to pick up the smelly water of mine, but it will tell me if the water test, if my water is hard or soft. And
It'll pick up any, you know,
no, it's just
organic
the basics,
compounds or anything
pH
like that.
Balance, that sort of thing. It's just a basic.
Well, we'll talk about that in that show, what it covers and what it doesn't.
All right. Well, that's all we have on this show, the Handy Guys Podcast. Check us out next week when we will be back.
Thanks. Bye.
The Handy Guys will be back next week. Same handy time, same handy website.